Good morning. This is Pastor Ray Higginbotham, Eddy Missionary Baptist Church, on Eddy Church Road, just a couple of blocks off of Highway 231 down Eddy Scant City Road. Second road, turn left. We're on the left. Be glad to have you. You're welcome anytime. You'll find a friendly welcome at our church. We invite you to Sunday school and to our worship services. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and it'll be our privilege to have you come and worship with us. Bring your Bibles. Study with us in our Sunday school. Would you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 18? I begin reading with verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Seeing there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be long bearing with them? I'll tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Turn with me to another scripture over in the book of Matthew in chapter 6, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Of course, it was a prayer for the disciples and for you and I today. We begin reading in chapter 6. I think that this prayer should be prayed today by each of us as Christians, and ask the Lord to open our understanding concerning this powerful prayer. Beginning at verse 5, the verse begins, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Very familiar words to God's children. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He's due our praise. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you, will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Two passages of Scripture. I would say today conclusively that to uphold God's work, we need today a spiritual barrage of prayer, not only for the church and individuals in the church, each of us. This initiated by the Spirit of God, for he leads us in prayer. He teaches us prayer, as the Bible would teach us, learn of me, the Lord Jesus said. And he will direct us into all truth, the Bible says in John 16. And indeed, the church needs a visitation from God. Our Sunday school needs prayer. The teachers need prayer. Praying changes and transforms every part of the church. And without prayer, many times our churches just doesn't have the, we don't have the glow. And the glory is missing. And the reason is many times we don't pray as we ought. The transforming power of God in preaching to the message, it changes preaching from just preaching to a message from God. And that makes the difference indeed. It would change music and singing, not just singing and not just music. It would change it unto an anthem of praise, and praise indeed is due his dear name. We think about prayer, and I think about my own personal needs and coming to God. And many, many times as I come to him, I have regarded something in my life as trivial, and God makes me to know that without fail, that this is not a trivial matter. You know, when the church condones what God condemns, God just cannot bless the church. He cannot bless the individuals in the church. We are intercessors. We intercede one for another. We are to petition God, make our requests known unto God, as Philippians 4 and verse 6 tell us. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and thanksgiving, we're to make our requests known unto God. And the next verse tells us that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think of a scripture familiar in Psalm 66, verse 18. It just simply says, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. To regard iniquity, give it a place, and take our own counsel, lean upon our own understanding in the matters that God is speaking to us about from his word. We dare not do that because we lay aside the principles of God's word for our own, the musings of our own mind. The scripture calls it leaning upon our own understanding. Well, there are some things that today that we would come to. I come to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. And it talks about laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, that we run the race that is set before us. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, a very powerful message is there for us, that we lay aside, turn aside from it, turn away from it. And in chapter 12, it's such a beautiful group of verses. As we read verse 1, wherefore seeing we're compassed about, that's chapter 11, compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Patience in this context, endurance, enduring, running, and winning the race, victorious in Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. As I think about this, I go back to chapter 11. And speaking of Moses, the Bible simply said, Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. And you and I, as Christians, as born-again believers, and have trusted Christ, he has came to us with his message of truth, and he has brought us to himself, called us, if you please, called us out unto himself. And he has given us the assurance, blessed assurance, the songwriter said, Jesus is mine, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heirs of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit and washed in his blood indeed. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. You and I enduring, we endure, we run the race looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I would share with you today that many times we close the door of heaven because of our actions and because of things that happen in our life. You know, I think about the unconfessed sin. The Bible says if we confess our sins, many think it would be a trivial thing to go on and have fellowship with the world and have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But God has commanded us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them by the light of our life. That's reproof. And he has given us that position in the world. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on the hill. We're the salt. We're to keep back putrefaction. God working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, our submission to him, our yielding of our lives to him. Yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your body as instruments of righteousness for God and for his glory. Unconfessed sin. 1 John 1:9, thank God if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So we must visit our God and keep our lives clean before God and walk in his truth and be led in the paths of righteousness for his glory. And then another thing that would nail the door of heaven shut would be an unforgiving heart. You know, we just read, if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. That's an awesome verse. But if we forgive men their trespasses, then God cleans our slate. What a wonder it is. We need to keep short in our life. We need to keep short the things that happen to us. We need to say immediately when something happens, oh God, help me, cleanse me, forgive me. And so as we go to God, we realize that our hurt many times will lead us astray, but God would lead us in his pathway. And so we yield ourselves to God. In our yieldingness, we must yield ourselves to God. And another thing that happens so often in our life is an unbridled tongue. The Bible says in the book of James that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and it is set on fire of hell. What an awesome thing. It said if a man, it doesn't bridle his tongue, his religion is vain. James chapter 1 tells us that. Look in Proverbs 18 and verse 21, if you will. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Psalm 34 has another inscription for us, another truth for us concerning our tongue. And we find it beginning at verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, you children, hearken to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips that they speak no guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Now, in laying aside the weight that and the sins that beset us, and letting go and just letting God have our life, presenting our lives as Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 tells us to, as a living sacrifice unto God. You know, there are many things that we carry around, and God wants to cast all of our care on him. And I was thinking about in the past, a great pastor and a great preacher, a Presbyterian, was a chaplain of the Senate in Washington, D.C. many years ago. And his wife, Catherine Marshall, wrote his memoirs after that. The name of the book is A Man Called Peter. And I would read to you something that happened in her life, and she gave this testimony. After 6 months of lamenting over sickness and inflammation in her bodies, and several doctors had tried to help her, and there was no help. And she had read a little tract, if you please, from a friend had sent her, and the tract had told of a person who had lamented over being in a place they felt God had sent them to, and they had become sick. They was even in a wheelchair, and they cried out to God, and God just blessed them. Let me read this to you. Catherine began and said, "All right, Lord, I give up." That's what happened in the little pamphlet that she read. The person said to God, "God, I've been here, and I felt that you call me here, and here I am an invalid. And how can I do the work that you would have me to do? And I've been murmuring and complaining. Please forgive me. If you want me to be in this wheelchair, I surrender myself up to you. But if not, thy will be done." And after Catherine read that, she began, "All right, Lord, I give up. If you want me to be an invalid, that's your business. Anyway, I want even more than all else, even more than I want health, Lord. I want you. I want to love you with all of my heart, as you've told me to. She had come to the end, a place of acceptance. God, have your way. Lord, I'm beaten. I'm cast down. God, you decide what you want for me. As she prayed, she said, "I was really not expectant of any great thing to happen. I had the gift of a sick body, but my hope was very much alive, for I could trust in a holy and righteous and sovereign God who loved me and gave himself for me. The results of my prayer was, God, I give it all up to you. In the presence of the living Christ, God reached down into her situation and blessed and healed her body." Modern medicine at that time didn't have any answer, but God did. What was the lesson taught? She said, "I had almost demanded God to heal my body." What was the lesson? A demanding spirit with self-will as its rudder blocks prayer. The reason? God absolutely refuses to violate our will. Therefore, unless self-will is given up, God cannot move in answer to prayer. Have you prayed lately? Do you spend time with the Lord as you read his word? May God bless you richly as you do. Thank you for listening. God bless.